Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Dr. Ali Sini, and we are doing this class now. And our name that we started is the name of Allah At-Tawwab. The name of Allah At-Tawwab. We started talking about At-Tawwab before, and we ended when we were talking about we were talking about the whale. The last thing was the whale, right? So, we ended last time when we were talking about the story of the, we talked about the story of the 50 archers. And when they disobeyed the Prophet and left their positioned location before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent them a man to tell them to leave, and they went because they became so greedy and they went to collect the spoils of the war. And this is when Khalid ibn Walid attacked in the second round. This is when the second round started and the Muslims lost the second round. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained this in clearly to let us know that it's a punishment. When in Surah Al-Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, indeed Allah has fulfilled his promise to you when you were killing them, which are your enemies, with his permission. Until the moment you lost your courage and felt to dispute about the order. You disobeyed the Prophet. Disobeyed the Prophet. And because some of you have, see, here is the key word here. Okay. Minkum man yuridu dunya wa minkum man yuridu al-akhirah. Among you are people who want the hereafter. They want the reward of Allah in Jannah. They don't care about this world. But unfortunately, some of you were after, became greedy, and they were after these boils of the war. Okay, because these people, 40, whatever, 40 plus archers that left, okay, because these archers, I think I lost you. Because some of you want this life with the pleasures of this dunya, because some of you became greedy, everybody was punished. Every prophet was injured. The entire army was defeated. Why? Because the punishment does not fall on only the guilty people. Only the guilty people. No. According to this ayah, Al-Anfal, Surah Al-Anfal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and fear for a punishment that's not going to affect only the wrongdoers. Everybody would be punished because it's one boat, and everybody's riding that boat. If it sinks, everybody will sink. Okay? Okay. Now, Prophet Yunus, he was sent to people. Allah sent him to preach, to talk them out of the nonsense, worshiping idols and doing haram things, talking them out of this nonsense and bring them the guidance of Allah and make them believe in Allah. What happened is that they gave him a hard time. They became stubborn. They mocked him. They did everything you can imagine. He lost patience and he was angry and he left them. And he thought that Allah's not going to punish him. You know, so what happened is that Allah wanted to punish him. Why? To bring him back and to make him repent and go back to the straight path. So what happened is that he went into the to the shoreline and you know, he found a ship crossing the sea. So he wanted to cross the sea with the ship. So he went onto the ship, and in the way, the wind started blowing. Storm was coming. And the boat is too heavy. So they were drawing lottery to see, making draws to see which one to throw in the water, because they threw away all their belongings and there's nothing left except people, and the boat is still too heavy. So they wanted to see who is the one to be thrown in the water. So they draw a lot, and okay. So yeah, I mean, go ahead and follow it. Okay. So basically they draw, it came to Prophet Yunus. So they said, no, he's too good to be thrown. Let's try again. They draw again, came out to Prophet Yunus. Said, nah, come on, this guy looks righteous and looks, you know, peaceful and things like that. Let's try one more time. They tried the third time, and here we go. It's Yunus. They took him, they threw him in the ocean. Guess who was waiting? The whale was waiting, swallowed him, and Allah told the whale, you are a custodian of, I would put Jonah, which is Prophet Yunus, I'll put Yunus inside you as custodian. You just take custody of him. Don't digest him, just keep him inside. So Jonah stayed inside, and it was complete darkness inside. And he was crying and yelling, he said, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. Glory be to you, Allah. Glory be to you. Forgive me. I wronged myself. Forgive me. And he kept saying that until Allah repented, granted him repentance. And then Allah made the whale spit him on the beach. And Allah made squash tree grow around him. And because when he was spit out, he didn't have skins. His skins peeled inside the whale's tummy. So when the whale spit him, he was almost skinless. So these squash trees protected his skin. Protected him until his skin grows back, protected him from, you know, insects and things like that. Okay. Then Allah sent him to another town that has about 100,000. Okay. As Allah mentioned in the Quran, the population was around 100,000. They believed into him. So they believed into him. So, and they, so he succeeded in his second mission. Now, about the people that he left first, and he left and he went and he onto the boat. The people that he was angry with and he left. When he left, they got worried. Why? Because anytime a prophet gives up on the people, Allah will punish those people and destroy them. So the cloud, the black, dark clouds started approaching. Okay. So the people got scared, and they figured out that this is because they disbelieved in Prophet Yunus, and they gave him a hard time. So they cried and they repented. After he was gone, they cried and repented, and Allah lifted the punishment from them because they repented. So the people he left repented, and the people he was sent to after the whale incident also repented and became good believers. But this is how Allah punished him, to make him reconsider and readjust himself and realize that you're not going to get away with these, with this kind of action without permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, there is another story of the Battle of Hardship. The Battle of Hardship was in the middle of the summer. It was hot. It was burning. You can't believe it. It's really, really bad weather. And you don't know the deserts of Arabia in June and July and August. In July and August, you don't know. It's just temperature over there is 120, easy 120 in the shadow. Okay. In the shade, it's 120, not to mention in the direct sunlight. I mean, it was extremely hot. And the trip was very long, was about I would say about 600 miles one way. So you can say coming back is about 1,000 miles. Of course, not on an aeroplane or buses. No, it's walking on the sand. And there was not enough money to carry, not enough camels to carry everybody. So people will share, 2-3 people will share one camel. So 2 will walk, 1 on the camel, and then they alternate. And it was hot, hardship. This was called the Battle of Hardship. Hardship, not enough finances. People wanted to come out, and Prophet Muhammad didn't have resources for them to take it. So the believers were divided into 4 groups. Group 1, those who have the resources and they went to fight. Group 2, that when they, group 2 is that when they are the people who don't have resources, they don't have money at all, and they want to fight. But the Prophet said, I don't have anything, any camel or anything for you. I mean, so basically I can't take you. So those people, according to this ayah here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the reward. Allah gave them the reward as if they were going out with them. Because they cried sincerely from the bottom of their heart that they wanted to go. But the Prophet ﷺ said, I don't have anything to carry you. I mean, you can't make it on foot. It's crazy. And, you know, people are already alternating on camels. Okay? So they left behind. They are left behind. The third group are the hypocrites. The hypocrites, they have the resources, but they didn't want to go. They just gave lame excuses, okay? But the group that we care about here is this fourth group. Believers, true believers, not hypocrites, okay? Not people with hypocrisy, no. Not hypocrites at all. Believers, true believers, and have the resources, but they were lazy. They kept postponing it. So the first, when the Prophet calls onto the army to assemble outside of Medina, they said, okay, we go tomorrow. And then tomorrow they said, maybe the second day, maybe. They kept postponing it, procrastinating it. Until it became too late, until it became, it's impossible to catch the army because it's too far. Okay, they didn't have resources. Now, when the Prophet ﷺ went, he was going fighting in the North Arabian Peninsula. He's going to fight the Byzantine Empire, the Romans. So the enemy was very strong enemy. Muslims were way outnumbered. The weather was extremely hot. Resources, very little resources, very little water, very little food. And everything was really, Allah called it the battle of hardship. Hardship, okay? So what happened is that when the Rome Byzantines heard that the Prophet is coming by himself with an army, they got scared and they went back. They ran away. So when the army went there, they didn't fight. The enemy already is gone. So they just came back. When they came back, okay, here is the story is being told by the guy whose name is Ka'b ibn Malik. Well, 3-1. Ka'b ibn Malik, Murara ibn Rabi', Hilal ibn Umayyah. These were the 3 guys that were believers, but they kept postponing it until it became too late for them. So now they waited, and then when it was too far, you don't find the rich people or the people who have resources in Medina, they all known to be hypocrites. So he would walk around, he will see them, and he recognizes them. But, or a poor person, a good believer that doesn't have the resources. Now, when the Prophet came back, now everybody's coming to, the ones who didn't go, which is group three, we said group one is excused, because group two is excused because they didn't have the resources. And they were crying. Now, the ones that are not excused are group three and group four. Group three started coming to the Prophet, hypocrites. Everyone is making up an excuse. One says, okay, I had, my son was dying. My son was sick. My wife was pregnant. My camels were having a fever or whatever. Lame excuses. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the Prophet comes, they give him an excuse and say, Wallahi al-Azim, we swear, Wallahi al-Azim, I was so sick. Wallahi al-Azim, my wife was, I had to take care of my wife. Wallahi al-Azim, lying. And what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will do, he knows them, the Prophet. So he will say to them, okay, you're forgiven. Not forgiven, you're excused. The next one comes, you're excused. The third one, you're excused. The Prophet will believe whatever they say, and then he will accept whatever they say and then excuse them. But now when it turns Hilal ibn Umayyah, okay, so there were about 80 some men, okay? About 80 some men. Those are the ones who were making excuses, the hypocrites. But he and only other two that we mentioned, their names are the ones who good, true believers and have the resources. So now when they come, when he was going to ask the Prophet for an excuse to forgive him, people, his family said, make up a false excuse. Come on. You know, say anything. Say you had the diarrhea or whatever. Say something. Okay. Otherwise, you'll get in trouble with the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, he started thinking about it. And then when he arrived and when he entered the room of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he could not lie. So he said, I swear by Allah. Now, when he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam now looked at him with an angry smile. He didn't do that with all other people because Prophet knows that they are hypocrites. But this guy, the Prophet knows that he's a sincere believer. So he was looking, when he came into the room, he looked at him with an angry smile and say, okay, why didn't you join the army? He said, Prophet Muhammad, wallahi, I have absolutely no excuse. I had the wealth, I had the health, I had the time, everything was available. But I got lazy. So the Prophet ﷺ said, okay, go back home and I will see what Allah will reveal about you. What will Allah send a revelation about you? So when he was going back home, his friend said, oh, come on, go back and make an excuse and ask the Prophet to make istighfar for you. Go back and make up an excuse. He said, no, I am not. Okay, that was him and two others. So there's three people. Anyway, the Prophet said, stay home. So the first of all, the Prophet said, don't talk to them. So all companions, they will not talk to these three people. They say salam, nobody answers them. They talk to somebody, nobody answers them. And then the Prophet, the next step with the Prophet ﷺ said, stay in your homes, don't go out of your homes. So they stayed in their homes and they were feeling very sad and crying, and you know, it wasn't really something pleasant to be boycotted by all those people. Then the third step of the punishment was that he told them, send your wives back to the families. Don't let your spouse stay with you. And while he was waiting in his house, crying, miserable, a letter came to him from the king of the Christian Arabs on the North Peninsula, says, we know that your friend has abandoned you. So why don't you join us? So he said, I took the letter and I burned the letter. And they said, this is part of the test from Allah. After 50 nights, after 50 days, Allah revealed these ayat about them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the three people that they were left behind, and they felt so restrained, and so, you know, they felt miserable, and they felt that this vast earth is about to collapse on them, and they felt that that's it. You know, we were done with. Then Allah sent that day, Allah has accepted repentance, for He is the most repentant, the most merciful, the most kind, the most fair, the one who accepts repentances. So they, a guy heard the verse, he heard the revelation, he came running to Ka'b, which is our friend who didn't make it, and he gave him good news for the best day that you have ever seen. Allah has revealed the Quran, forgiving you and the other two. So he said, I took the dress that I have. I said, this the dress is your gift. I'm going to gift you with this dress because you gave me such good news. So see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught them a lesson, a good lesson. 50 days. Okay. 50 days Allah left them like this, grounded from talking to anybody, grounded from leaving home, grounded from being with their spouses. Only Hilal ibn Umayyah, the one of them, was very old. And his wife said, he can't really make wudu by himself. He needs somebody to help him around. So the Prophet said, yes, you can keep your wife with you. But for the other two, no. And then after 50 days, when they learned the good lesson, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave them. Also, the story of the brothers in Surah Al-Qalam, Surah Noon, والقلم وما يسطرون. That was a righteous man. That was the story of a righteous man. And this righteous man used to have to divide the fruits that he harvests, crops. He divides the crops into three portions. One third for the sake of Allah, for the poor and needy. Right at the day of harvest, the poor and needy, they know, they come from the morning. They line up and they take their share, okay? And then the second one third, he reinvested in the land to prepare the land again for the next harvest. And the last one third is for him and his family to live on, to eat, okay? So now, the father died, and he has three children. Now the children, you know, they said, well, one third for the poor and needy. Come on, that's too much. Our dad was not, he was not doing, I mean, it's too much from him. We don't want to do that. We don't want to give up one third of the crops. So they made a plan. They said, okay, poor people come around noontime, something like that. Okay, or maybe morning time. Okay, we're going to go midnight, after little after midnight. And when it's dark, before anybody comes, we're going to harvest all the tree, all the crops, and take it home before anybody, any poor person arrives and asks for something. So they made the plan, they made the determination, and they woke up, okay, on the appointed time, little after midnight, and they started walking towards the farm, okay? And guess what happened? Okay, verse 24, that no poor man shall enter you into today, enter into it today. 25, they were so greedy in doing this. And 26, the garden was destroyed, but they did not recognize it. They said, what? We must have gone astray. We must have lost our way. And they looked clearly. They said, no, that's the right place. This is where our farm. The farm was completely destroyed. So now when they realized that, they said, verily, we have gone astray. Indeed, we are deprived from our fruits. For one of them, he said, shouldn't you, 28, shouldn't you ask Allah for forgiveness? 29, they started realizing and asking for forgiveness. 30, blaming each other. 31, crying again, regretting what happened. 32, they started praying to Allah to replace them with better what than they with better than what they lost. And then at the conclusion, Allah said in 33, said, this is a punishment, but this is the little one. If they continue doing that, then the big one was coming in the day of judgment, and it's not going to be easy as this one. The one in the day of judgment, the punishment is really hard, and it's really, really harsh punishment, much harsher than this. But because Allah did this to them, they repented. Just imagine that Allah didn't do this. And they went early, and they harvested all the crops, and they took it home, and the poor people come in the morning, they find nothing, okay? If this would happen, or if they would succeed in their plan, then guess what would happen? They would have continued being the same way. They would have continued doing the wrong thing, and they would do it again. They would deprive the poor people, and will it, you know, it will increase. It will increase, and they will be left alone to practice this, and then at the very end, they will be punished by Allah severely in the day of judgment. But because Allah is so kind and so tawwab, He makes people repent. Allah designed this punishment for them. It's just like wake up call. If Allah loves them, Allah woke them up by punishing them. If Allah doesn't love them, He would let them go astray. And then the punishment is going to be in the day of judgment. The real punishment is going to be in the day of judgment. But Allah, because Allah loved them and He saw that they have goodness in their hearts, Allah did this to them to wake them up and to make them repent. There are other people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make them repent because He got so mad at them. What happened is that the Jews were the story in Surah Al-A'raf here. The Jews were forbidden from doing any work on Saturday. Sabbath day is Saturday, and they cannot do anything. They cannot work. They cannot do any kind of business the whole entire Saturday. No business whatsoever. It's a dedicated worship day. Now, one of them used to live near the ocean, and they were fishermen. Now Allah knew that they have wickedness in their heart. So Allah wanted to give them a punishment. So what Allah will do, Allah will bring the fish here. They bring the fish very close to the beach, okay? Very close to the beach. They bring the fish very close to Allah, will send the fish very near the beach, like you can just catch a lot of fish like that, and the fish keeps jumping in front of them. Big, good fish on Saturday near the beach. And they are sitting, and they are so angry. Now, for the rest of the week, the fish will not come. See how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to punish them? He would send them the fish on Saturday, and then for the rest of the week, the fish will go away, deep in the ocean. They can't fish it. So what they did, they would say, okay, what we're going to do, we're going to set up our nets on Friday. So when Saturday comes, we're not going to fish. We're just going to close the nets so that the fish is trapped, so the fish cannot go back, okay? And then on Sunday, they draw the nets and they catch the fish. You see what I'm saying? It's playing a game with Allah. So they set up the nets on Friday. They close the nets on Sunday. And then they draw the nets and with the fish on Sunday. I'm sorry. They on Friday, they set the nets. And Saturday, they close the nets. On Sunday, they now draw the nets, take the nets with the fish in it. So, and they said, we didn't catch the fish on Saturday. We just closed the nets on Saturday, but we didn't catch the fish. So playing stupid, in other words, I don't know what's the better expression for that, but they were like playing a dirty game with the orders of Allah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed them. Allah cursed them for doing so, and Allah punished them. Allah punished them, and He cursed them because of that. So this is an example of a situation where Allah is punishing, is not making them repent. Allah's punishing them by giving them a very hard test, very difficult test. When the fish is near, they cannot catch it. When the rest of the week, when they can catch it, the fish is all the way inside. This is an example of what Allah will do if Allah doesn't want to, if Allah doesn't like someone. There is there are conditions for the tawbah. Conditions for the tawbah or for the asking for forgiveness. And
الذين أسرفوا على أنفسهم لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله
What's the point of even seeking forgiveness? If you know what I'm doing, you know the kind of stuff I'm up to, you don't want to know, bro. I'm bad. I can't even worry about forgiveness anymore. I mean, the people who are good, they try to make istighfar and stuff. I'm involved in way too much. And I don't see myself getting out anytime soon. Allah says, don't cut yourselves off. Don't lose hope. Don't become completely depressed from the loving mercy and care of Allah. Allah didn't stop loving you. Allah didn't stop caring about you. Allah never says in Quran, He wants to punish you. He says the opposite. Why would He want to punish you? That's literally what He says. Allah will forgive all sins altogether. I will wipe your slate so clean there won't be even a little stain. Everything will be gone. All of them altogether. No doubt about it. He's the only one that is excessively forgiving. Allah is ready to forgive everything. Allah is ready to start you fresh, completely new. But that is not the only thing. My slaves, now that you know, I will forgive everything. Then come back to me. Come back to your master. He says, I'm ready to forgive you, but my forgiveness isn't free. You have to do something to earn it. Come back to me. Turn your hearts back to your master. He's ready to forgive you. Then give yourselves up before him. Be in Islam. Submit yourself. Be ready to obey. Before punishment comes to you, then you won't be helped. Now Allah mentions punishment.
Malak al-Maut does not know whether you're young or old. He does not care whether you're rich or poor, whether you're male or female, whether you're healthy or ill. Malak al-Maut has a list of names, and based on that list, Malak al-Maut will take the souls of the people.
How come I fell short? I could have done it. And then he gives the reason. I used to be from the people that kid around. I thought all of it was a joke. Forgiveness for what? Oh yeah, Judgment Day, yeah, sure. And the guy is standing on Judgment Day, screaming out, Ya Allah, how could I have taken this not seriously? Why was this a joke to me? And what is Allah's response to all of them? No. I gave you a message that I will forgive everything, and you didn't care. You kicked it to the curb. You spit at that invitation. You thought it was a joke. That's your fault. That's your fault.
Do not say, I repented, therefore I'm okay. Let me move on. Yesterday was yesterday. Let me enjoy today. No. You should always worry about your sins until you get to Jannah. Do deeds as much as you can to offset your sin.
We are insan, we are human. We do falter, we do fall. But at the same time, turn back to Allah. He is merciful. He will forgive you. But don't plan to commit a sin again. It's like always we say, the four conditions of asking Allah's forgiveness: to admit your sin, to regret it, to promise you're not going to do it again. In fact, to admit, to regret, to ask for forgiveness, and to promise never to do it again. Four things.
So basically, there are conditions for repentance. There are conditions for repentance. The repentance is not like you saw with the guys that they were have to be grounded by Allah for 50 days, being boycotted. Nobody wants to talk to them. Nobody gives them salam. When they give salam, nobody replies to them. And then they were restrained to stay at their homes. And then they were ordered to give up their wives and send their wives back to their families. For 50 days, it wasn't like for a week or two. 50 days, that's like, what, 7 weeks? That's a lot of time. This is a lot of time. 77 weeks, that's not easy. Ramadan is like 2 Ramadans and 10 days, you know? So it's like a test of Ramadan or test of fasting, test of submission to Ramadan, test of submission to fasting is 30 days. This one was 70 days. And according to what I'm seeing here is after 40 days, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered them to send their wives homes. So the first 40 days, okay. So the first, okay. Yeah, the first 40 days they were spent with their wives, and then for the rest, they had to give up their wives. It's not a cost-free. Tawbah is not a cost-free. Tawbah requires, it has conditions. It has conditions, especially if it has to do with somebody else. When it's the right of somebody, when it's Allah's right, Allah's very forgiving. And Allah forgives his rights. Okay. But when it has to do with somebody else's right, this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not leave an atom weight of violation of one person without judging. Allah does not leave anything from the record that shows your violations of the rights of other people. And that one, Allah, people will sue each other in the day of judgment and point to each other. You backbited me. You cheated me. You lied to me. You killed me. You, especially killing. Killing is, the Prophet ﷺ says that Allah, the believer, is doing okay as long as he does not. Somehow my internet is acting today, so my apology. I don't know where did I stop. Okay. Okay. So I don't know where did I stop, but anyway, the violation of the sin has to do with the rights of another person, seek the forgiveness and pay the damages before the day of judgment. You either seek forgiveness from that person or you pay back the debt, whatever thing wrong. Especially in killing, the Prophet ﷺ said that a believer is generally doing okay until he gets engaged into shedding haram blood. This is when you'll be totally taken from one category into a totally different category. This is being sins that are less than murder are one category, but when it involves killing and shedding haram blood, that's a totally different story. And repentance there is, you know, you have to really work hard. It has to be, you have to do your best. You have to do the best you can to repent from such a thing. It's not easy. And in the day of judgment, what happens is that you don't pay damages with dollars. No, in the day of judgment, damages are paid by hasanat. So you wronged somebody. This person, the day of judgment, files a lawsuit in front of you, in front of Allah against you. And the records are there, the witnesses, everything, the books are written, everything is, you can't, no lying, and you can't get out of it. So then this person, Allah will pay back the person from your good deeds, from the points from your good deeds. So you start your pile of good deeds start to decrease until it reaches to zero. And you still have people filing lawsuits against you, okay, because of you wronged them. You violated their rights. They wronged them. Then, okay, you ran out of good deeds now. Then they take their bad deeds, they take points from their sins, from their bad deeds, and they put it in your record. So once you run out of deposit credit, now you get debit. So everybody will dump lots of points of bad deeds, lots of bad deeds on your record. And then until you will drown into an ocean of bad deeds, and then you find yourself in hell. Okay? So watch out. if it has to do with the rights, money, stolen, send it back. If you can't, get rid of it. Give it to the poor and needy people who need it. If it's an insult, go ask forgiveness. Go ask forgiveness from that person that you've insulted. If you're backbiting, you either go and ask forgiveness from that person or you make dua to this person. You make, Ya Allah, forgive him. Ya Allah, give him Jannah. Ya Allah. Then in the day of judgment, Allah will tell that person when he files a lawsuit against you, tells him, okay, this is your complaint and this is what this guy did dua for you. Which one do you accept? Of course, that person will accept the dua because the dua is, Ya Allah, forgive him his sins. Ya Allah, take him to Jannah. Ya Allah. So he will accept the dua, and then that would be a replacement for the backbiting and the things like that. Okay? So in this, we conclude the name of Allah, At-Tawwab. And let's see if anybody has a question here. Any questions?